Hey Rick, it's great to see you today. Thanks for popping into our offices here in London after your presentation at the World Congress for Software Quality. We last met a couple of years ago when we were talking about Point Zero and finalising the vision. So can you just remind us what Point Zero is about before we have a chat about it?
Yes, well, of course. Point Zero actually is about increasing the business success by improving the collaboration of people and artifacts on all activities across the application lifecycle. So it has to do with improving in our IT world.
And it's quite exciting, isn't it, trying to move the quality definition for us as testers out of what we call core testing, back to the business, back to the real early stages of the lifecycle.
Indeed, it is, because often people think of testing as a very late life cycle activity, which it shouldn't be.
Yeah, and I don't know if it's the same for you in the Netherlands, but in the UK, it really is still seen as the test execution phase. So all the code's delivered, do the testing stuff, and give a finished work inspection as to how well the software's performing.
Yeah, and that's less of a quality measurement and improvement activity than it is basically just a quality measurement. And often you find quality is not good enough and it's too late to do something about it.
Yeah, too late to make changes. So it's been a couple of years since the vision was finalised and the book was made available. Have your thoughts on how Point Zero works changed since then? Are there any refinements that you think need to be included?
Yeah, I think so. Of course, Point Zero has now been used at several clients. We have some experiences with it. And also we have found that some people need more clear handholds. And one of the things we have created is a sort of a basic roadmap that still is adaptable, but gives people an idea where to focus on and how to move along with implementing Point Zero, because with Point Zero you can do very many changes and improvements, but you have to select the proper ones. And this roadmap helps with prioritizing and doing your improvements.
So the roadmap for the handholding, as you described it a bit earlier, is that taking the original circular disk view of Point Zero and giving guidance as to what to do at different points throughout that life cycle?
Well, I would rather say that we still take the application life cycle model as a starting point. And in the roadmap, one of the first things we do is assess how the activities in this life cycle actually work. So do people collaborate at the right in the right way and at the right activities. So the assessment of the life cycle and the working of the life cycle is one of the first steps in the roadmap. And another important step is root cause analysis to figure out if you have any things that can be improved, what causes these how do you call them, defects or inconsistencies in the process.
That's very interesting. That's very similar to what we've been finding in the UK. We haven't come up with a roadmap for Point Zero, but we've taken the principles and implemented them across a number of customers. And for me, the most interesting thing is that you're seeing the same issues in the Netherlands as here. You mentioned people and all these changes that we need to, you know, encourage our customers to make to improve the quality of their solutions, or rely on the people buying into the process. And they, certainly in our experience, are the hardest part of the process to change, winning the hearts and minds, getting people to buy in to what needs doing. Do you see the same things?
Yeah, indeed. This afternoon during my tutorial at the Congress, one of the things we dug in deeper in is that if you want improvement, you should not only look at the process, because of course a good process is part of the solution for a good product in the end. But the other thing is good people. So people and process working together, that's the basis for the product that supports your business success.
Because at the end of the day, processes are tools like many other tools that we have, and they need good, skilled, trained people to implement them properly.
Yeah, and it's becoming more and more important in today's world where we have agile approaches, DevOps that rely more and more on the people and are less heavy on the process.
And I think that's an important point. So DevOps, Agile, Scrum, V model, the 0.0 vision applies equally to all of them. It really is development approach agnostic, isn't it?
Indeed.
Rick, when you arrived at our office this afternoon, you were quite excited about some examples of where 0.0 has been implemented in the Netherlands. I don't know if you shared them at the Congress this afternoon, but would you like to share them with us this evening?
Yeah, well, one of the interesting areas where 0.0 is actually implemented is an area where you wouldn't expect it easily, maybe. And that's the world of highway tunnels. You might see a tunnel as a concrete box where cars drive through. But actually, in a tunnel, there's about 50 to 60 IT systems. And of course, they need to comply with certain quality standards. And 0.0 is very fit to making sure that the tunnel can be opened in time. Because nowadays, it's not the people that make the concrete that define when the tunnel can be opened, but the people that do the IT stuff. And because the IT must guarantee safety in the tunnel. And one of our colleagues is the so-called quality supervisor of a tunnel that's currently under construction. And by having this role of the quality supervising there, they still keep the tunnel and the whole project of a tunnel, which is a multi-year project, going and keep it on track. And they look ahead and opening the tunnel in time, which we have seen examples in the past when we didn't implement 0.0 where tunnels ran over by a year and the planning to open it.
And with this quality supervision role, it sounds as though we're moving quality from being a passive activity that's either checking we've made things right or make sure we've got the right processes in place to actually making sure that we're delivering the right things in the right way as we go.
Yeah, indeed. They make sure that up front, they agree the criteria that have to be met so that every party involved works towards these criteria and we don't have to detect afterwards that some standards were not met.
That's really, really interesting. We haven't anything quite so fascinating that we've worked on in the UK, but we've certainly seen that by putting quality supervision at the centre of what you do with what we tend to call shift left within the UK, certainly has a positive impact on not only the people and the processes that are being used, but also in the quality of the end product. So I think it's about time to wrap up now. Do you have any final thoughts you want to share with us?
Well, one thing that's still very interesting, I think, is we currently see a lot of emphasis on DevOps in many organizations, and actually DevOps follows the same principles as 0.0. So some people don't even realize that they actually implement this shift left idea that we described in the 0.0 book 2 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, we're not there within the UK moving into DevOps yet, but we are definitely moving the 0.0 vision out to many of our customers. So thanks for popping in again, and it was great to chat this evening.
Yeah, thank you. Bye.